Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! Welcome back to another episode of Success Stories. I am joined here today by Matt Kahn from Nashville, Tennessee, which is just down the road from where I live, and one of my favorite cities here in the Midwest, for sure. I haven't spent as much time as I'd like to, other than really going to the last couple Imaging USAs that were at the Gaylord, and then a couple other trips down there. But I'm a big fan of that hot chicken sandwich.
Got to come to the Broadway, for sure.
Yes, I've been there too. The music is, I think, what I would love the most. And it's crazy because in my trips over the last, let's say, 10 or 15 years, it is crazy how much Nashville has changed. But thank you. Welcome to the show, I should say that.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on. I can't wait to talk with you more.
Yeah. So how long are you born and bred in Nashville, or are you?
No, so actually born in D.C., small town out of D.C. called Silver Spring, Maryland.
I know exactly where that is.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm an East Coaster, so yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, yeah. Born and bred there, and then moved to Nashville for college. Went to Belmont University, and I studied music business, which is a degree that a lot of people don't end up using after college, just like me. So, yeah, and ever since I've been shooting weddings in Nashville.
All right, cool. Interesting fact about me. So I'm a born and bred New Yorker who moved to St. Louis to work for a music licensing company.
Wow, that's so cool.
So that was why I would had made more recent trips to Nashville to meet with some artists. And it was a super interesting job as far as it was a startup that crashed and burned pretty quickly. But it was during a time when there wasn't a lot of music offered to photographers and videographers to use in their videos.
Sure.
And it was really hard to find not really crappy music. And one of the things that he wanted to do was get mainstream music. And still to this day, there's a lot of people in the music labels who'd have no idea how he struck these deals to be able to get some like One Republic songs and like some really, really big artists to sign on. And it really was a big deal at that time. And then later on, we kind of discovered that they really didn't need the mainstream stuff so much. Especially the videographers really just wanted background music that was good. But at that point, we were already getting beaten by people like Soundstripe and Music Bed and, you know, those guys.
It's really a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
But that's so cool you worked for them.
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there about a year with them. I had known the owner for a long time. And before that, I had worked for WPPI, which was Conference and Trade Show Expo in Vegas, if you've never heard of it. It was an interesting time. But my favorite parts were going to Nashville to meet artists. And then, you know, we'd always go out. And I kind of grew up around music. My dad worked for John Lennon as a sound engineer, and that's a whole other story. But we don't need to get into that. I can save that for when we're done. This is really more about you. But yeah, so I grew up around music, and it has always been a big deal for me. So you moved to DC in college. I'm sorry, Nashville in college, and you kind of stumbled. So talk to me about the stumbling into photography from a music background.
So I got my first camera in college, and it was like the worst, you know, Nikon DSLR you can buy. I got a freshman year, really just to take pictures of friends, right?
Yeah.
And then around sophomore year, I started learning, oh, I can actually make money at this. And so I upgraded my camera a little bit, started shooting weddings. I shot my first friend's wedding, which is how I feel like a lot of people start their wedding career. And then from there, I really branched off, and I was like, I love this. This is incredible. I'm wedding photography full time, but I also, like, I just got back from a trip to Yellowstone.
Nice.
And I'm really interested in all aspects of photography. So wildlife, you know, travel, everything.
That's cool. And it definitely, like, reading your photographer bio, sounds like you definitely are well-rounded as far as the kind of photography you like to do. I got to ask about Netflix Lifetime's Married at First Sight season 16, which, just as a caveat, I haven't watched any of them, but every time I walk into our bedroom, my wife is watching one of those episodes.
That's amazing. Yeah. it's a great season. But funny enough, I want to, before I go into kind of what that experience was like, I want to make a point of saying, in this industry, it's really about who you know and all about word of mouth.
Yeah.
And so the referral to get on that show didn't come from any bride, it came from a friend who works in the music industry. And they asked him, you know, to be on the show, and they asked him, we need a wedding photographer. Who do you know? And, you know, me being his best friend, I got the job. it was amazing. But truly one of the highlights of my career so far, just incredible experience. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, I can take you through kind of the experience as a whole. I'd love to.
Yeah, actually, I want to talk about that, but I want to make a quick point. That I love that you talked about. As a photographer, one of our jobs is the best photographers are usually the best networkers, and the best networkers are usually able to, not necessarily the most talented, not saying that you aren't. I'm just saying, like, a good circle of friends and creative friends will always lead you in good places. And I also think that it's also one of the reasons why it's so important to live in a city that is designed around something that you really like New York, like Nashville, if you're a big music person, or New York City, where you're surrounded by creative people and different places, or LA, if you're into, you know, let's say fitness or lifestyle things.
Absolutely,
right? That's what's going to get you that work. And as a young person, I know with my teenage kids, I'm going to push them in directions to live in cities that will help them with their career. And that's kind of how you can find the things that you love doing, even that's if you really hate the city you're living in. So that's the point I'm going to make, but I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about that experience though.
Great. And just on that too, really quick, like I've spent years of my life on photography, all of my free time spent on photography, but by no means am I the most gifted photographer in the world.
Right.
And so kind of what you were saying is, like, you can be that most gifted photographer, but if you're a hermit, you're really not going to go that far. It's all about talking to people. Yeah. It's that mix. But when I actually got on the show, it was so funny because it wasn't really what I was expecting. They told me, you know, you're going to be the lead photographer for two of the couples. And I went, great. You know, that's what I'm born to do. but when I got there, it was very much, you were running it, but you weren't. So what I mean by that is you were on the show's time, right? So nothing could happen for several hours. You know, they were setting up the shots and everything. Not to say that it's staged. It really, truly is a, you know, live show. But, you know, they have to set up the shots and whatever. And so you kind of be waiting around for a couple of hours, and then the director would swoop down and was like, where's that photographer? I need you to direct now. it was great. You know, I love those learning experiences branching out, and it made me a better photographer as a whole. And if you haven't seen that, any episode so far, definitely go and watch.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be digging up those episodes for sure. And, I think what's also really great about being a photographer, you know, outside of shooting weddings, and even shooting weddings too, in the 15, 20 years that I did weddings, I also did a lot of commercial stuff, but some of the experiences that we get to be part of, whether it's the location you're at or, the things that are going on, I've done one reality TV show in my life.
What was it?
Well, it was probably almost 15 years ago. And it was actually for like a daytime talk show. And I got contacted by one of the producers, and they're like, and I forget who it was now, somebody who had like a very brief time on like daytime talk TV, and she had a show, and a friend finding somebody, doing something to fix them, to make them better, whether it was physical appearance or emotional. Okay. And then they would kind of record it. This episode was, and they didn't tell me what it was. They said, we're going to have this wedding at this location. I see on your website that you shot at this location. Would you like to do this reality TV show? And of course, at that time it was like, there's no payment here. It's just for exposure. And I was like, as long as you put my name on in the credits, I'm totally fine. Right. So it turned out that this episode was a bride who had like terrible teeth. And like her teeth were all like, she had gone through years. I think she was a drug addict and her teeth were like pretty much all rotten. And so she had gone through this huge dental surgery. She was, and I didn't see any of this until after I saw the episode. And then they did the surprise wedding and it was really beautiful and it was really, really neat. The bride was like so emotional. During this whole thing, like she barely wanted to do any pictures afterwards because I was like, let's go out and do some pictures with you and your husband. And she's like, I'm done. It was a really interesting experience though.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, again, because like what you were saying, like at one point they're like, you photographer, be photographer.
Yeah. And it shows definitely work differently. And that's kind of my goal too, is to book more shows like that. Love to. I know The Bachelor, I hear, is coming to Nashville. Love to get on that. That's so funny. I love that you did that.
Yeah.
And so I got a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
How on that show did you make the bride feel comfortable and like kind of get her out of her shell?
Wow, that's a great question. So, I mean, obviously years of being a wedding photographer, I've had lots of nervous brides and people who, you know, gotten into fights and stuff like that. If they're very, very nervous, my advice is I would actually pull them aside and say, come on, let's go have a chat for a minute. And I look them really straight in the eye and I would say, this is your moment. This is about you. Whatever's going on, please just get yourself into this moment. I know. Yeah. And depending on how old I was at that point, and then later in my career, I could be, listen, I'm the old guy who's shot thousands of weddings at this point. Trust me on this. Just focus on this moment for a few minutes. And I promise you, you will thank me. Maybe not now. 10 years from now, you'll thank me.
Amazing. Yeah, I love that. It's incredible. Yeah.
What about you? How would you do it?
So I think it varies for me with brides and grooms. So with brides, I love the best thing you can tell a bride on her special day is like, you look amazing. You look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I've never said it where I don't mean it, but I say it a lot, is that you look like we're doing a Vogue shoot. You look spectacular. And instantly you can see her eyes brighten, her smile lines. And that's amazing. The Vogue thing doesn't really work with guys as well as brides. But what I love to do with guys is I kind of had this just happen is, when I'm photographing a groom's party, I'll usually go up to a groomsman before, and then I will ask him, you know, tell me about a memory of you and the groom and you of all the guys where you had a great time or it was like a really funny memory, something really specific. And so when I have them all together, and I'm like counting down on 3, 2, 1. When I say one, I want you guys to think about that time so-and-so had too many drinks at so-and-so bar. And instantly the groom is like, how does he know about that? Proper like Nardwar moment or something. But it's all about provoking that genuine reaction.
Yeah.
When you are doing these like staged photos that I love to do.
That's awesome. And that's also really good advice. Cool. How long have you been shooting weddings?
So started sophomore year. I'm so terrible with losing track of time.
Ballpark,
COVID. So whenever sophomore year was, I started college in 2016. It's 2023 now. So
okay, so it's been a few years. Cool. Yeah. And I was looking at your record for OPG, and I see, well, you haven't actually shot any weddings for us yet. You have three in the future coming up. And I always like to ask, you know, about the onboarding process with us and kind of getting to it. I actually want to, I think this is a good question for you. So one of the things that you have to do when you work with us is you have to upload a bunch of pictures to us for your portfolio review. And you've got to gather those images. And I do a lot of interviews, I do some of the interviews for new photographers that join us. And I'm always curious, that's it's the hardest part about onboarding with us. And building a portfolio is something that we all have to do, right? What advice would you, what was your process? And what advice can you offer for that kind of stuff?
So my best advice, first of all, I got to say, the onboarding process with OPG is incredible.
Oh, that's cool.
So easy, so fast.
That's cool. Nice to hear.
You guys are doing a great job. But my best advice for new photographers or anyone growing their portfolio is if you have a free day, make use of it. Whether you're making money from a photo shoot or not, you know, DM Instagram models, say, I'd love to collab. You know, it's totally free exposure, but you need to be building that portfolio in a genuine way.
I could not agree with it that more. And what I think is interesting about that is I also feel like, you know, there's many of us who it's also like you can take those pictures too, but at the same time, you need to do something with those images and archive them and keep them in different places. And one of my biggest faults over the years is not keeping like a best of folder of all the weddings that I've shot over the years. And, you know, I shot weddings in my own studio. I started when I was 17 and I had my own studio for 15 years, but there was a whole career of 10 years shooting before that. And I really wish that, like, I have a couple of old wedding albums from like the late 80s. That are hilarious. But I really wish that I just kept some of those prints and, you know, those things over the year. But I love that advice. Always be shooting. And one of my best friends in this industry, his name is Ben Christman. He's a really amazing wedding photographer. And he always has a camera on him. Always. It doesn't matter where you're going or what you're doing. I forget what it's called. A smaller camera. It's a twin lens, not twin lens, a rangefinder. A little rangefinder, yeah. Or a little Fuji. And he always has that thing strapped around his neck. And I've been to some like parties and stuff at, you know, conferences and trade shows. And he always manages to get these incredible portraits of people. And that practice of doing that, even after he's had a million beers that night, that practice of doing that is just so invaluable. You know, over the years, and it really does make a big difference that every time you pick up that camera. And I think for newer photographers too, like when you first start shooting, it's all you can do to get through the day from a technical standpoint. But when you release all that technical aspect, then it's when the magic happens. And when photographers, and I can see that in your images too. I'm looking at your website now and I can see that in your images. And, when you finding that, it looks like you shoot a lot of available light and you're really good at finding that light, this detail shot that you have. And I can tell that, it's amazing. So cool. I'm glad that the onboarding process, and good luck with your weddings coming up.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Excited to be part of the team.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome aboard. I got to ask you about the view camera in your bio shot. That's the next place I want to go.
So that camera, we found that camera in my great grandfather's basement.
No kidding.
And it just had a slip of paper in the box that said trench camera. So I don't know whether it was actually in a trench or something, but we dated it back to around World War I. And of course, you know, like with any basement camera finds, had to be refurbished. Took it to a great shop in Virginia. I believe it's called Pro Camera. Got it all fixed. And I spent like a year really learning how to use it and develop my own film in-house. Because I didn't really want to rely on, you know, sending film off to California to get it developed. But shooting large format has been so cool because you whip it out, especially at a wedding, And everyone's like, what the hell is that? Like, you transport it back, you know, decades. And it's so cool. Get these amazing reactions from people.
Are you using it for like portraits, or are you just kind of waiting till a time during the day?
For weddings, I will usually break it out kind of when the family photo happens.
Okay.
Because I feel like I love, you know, the group reaction to it. But I will use it for individual portraits throughout the day as well. I'll usually bring about, I think 10 cases of film, 10 cartridges. So that's about 20 shots.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, just getting back, for those of you listening, what I'm talking about is, as Matt has a bio photo of himself with a, it looks like a 4x5 view camera, right?
Yep.
4x5 mm-hmm. view camera. A view camera, if you don't know what that is, look it up. it's a large format camera that shoots anywhere from 4 inches by 5 inches film with magazines that you put in from the back. And the best way to describe it is, think of the old timey guys with the cape that goes over there. The back of their head, and they're looking at a ground glass on the back of the camera, which is upside down and backwards. Yep. The first part of my career, you know, in commercial photography, in product photography back in the day, and I'll date myself now, we shot everything on 4x5 and 8x10. And it was towards the end of those days. But most of the studios that I worked at, we shot everything on film. It was way before digital. And they needed these super duper images, and we would shoot generally 4 to 6 sheets of film for each shot that we did. And for large, I did a lot of stuff for J. Crew during the day, back in the day. And we shot everything on 8x10, those large stacks like you see on the covers.
Yeah.
The photographers I worked were the people who invented that style. And I worked in the studio that did that. It was some amazing times, but I kind of caught the tail end of view camera photography.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad, and I love to hear that you're using it for portraits, which is why I wanted to talk to you about it. So I'm going to give you an idea. I'd love to see you run with it. Because it's been an idea that I've thought about for a long time. I still have an 8x10 sitting here in my basement.
What kind is it?
It's an old it's a, either a Graflex or my 4.5 is a Cynar, which is still worth a lot of money. But I had a few lenses and the Polaroid back, and you know, I had everything, and I actually just lent all that stuff out to a friend of mine. But my idea, and please take this idea, is for you to create an entirely new business just doing this. Okay.
Yep.
So you still hire a photographer. They can still hire a photographer. They can do their thing, but you show up around family picture time, and you give them 30 to 45 minutes of just 10 or 15 pictures. Like,
it's such a great idea. Yeah.
And it's just 4x5 or 8x10 family pictures. And you're just taking 5 or 6 shots. They're going to be epic shots. Like, you come, you show up, you take like an epic background of some kind.
Yep.
If they're going to spend this kind of money, it's probably going to be a nicer wedding. So there maybe be a mountaintop or trees or something really pretty. And that's all you do, and you charge them for that, and you're done. In 2 hours, you go home.
Amazing. Yeah. And that would work really well with the Polaroid back.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get that Polaroid film, which is hard to get now, but yeah.
Yeah, the Polaroid film. Well, so you could take it one step further, is get a truck where you could develop the film, right? So you could be like Ouija. You could be like Ouija in the 20s, developing your film in the back of the car, and then maybe you shoot it on an 8x10, and all you need to do is make a contact print. Contact print is where you take the actual negative and just make a reverse of the negative. You're actually putting it right on the paper itself, and then have it frame it right there and give it to them at the end of the night, like one family picture. Do it.
And I actually think I might take you up on that. Yeah, that's such a good idea. I didn't think of having a roaming photo lab.
I don't know how you could process 8x10 film in the back of a truck, though. That would be...
You could make it work.
You can make it work. And there was some guys that were doing like a Polaroid truck, and they would drive around the country. Polaroid was sponsoring them to do it for a while.
Really?
And there was a... I think there still is a Polaroid store in New York, and it had something to do with that. So you just do your homework on it. There's still some guys out there that are doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, at one point I was like emailing these guys and saying, I'm going to do the pictures. I hand it off to you, and then you take it from there, and then I'll frame it after you're done. But if you do it, let me know. I'll drive down to Nashville to help you get through the first couple of shoots.
I'll send you an email for sure. That's such a good idea. I'll give you credit,
Whatever. I just love to see somebody do it, because I think we're just at a timeline that's just far enough away from it that it actually might be a sellable thing.
Yeah.
And like that. So anyway.
I'm really worried about it having kind of, because I'm not trying to gatekeep too much, but you know, I threw so much money into getting it refurbished. I'm worried it's going to have that same like resurgence of like record players.
For sure.
Your friend bought it in college and now everyone has one in your dorm, you know? And so
there's a very large active Facebook group on with large format cameras.
I do know about that. But no, I think it's a great camera to learn on, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, or even if you have, you know, a couple of grand laying around, I would definitely pick one up, because you're so much more conscious about what you're shooting and setting up your shot when it takes like 10 minutes to set that up versus click, you're done with like modern day mirrorless DSLR.
Yeah. And I think that is a great practice for people. One of the things that I used to do in my workshops back in the day was we'd go out shooting someplace and I'd make them use a meter and I'd tape the back of their cameras. And then we'd come back afterwards and see who did the best with, you know, learning exposure, measuring light. And it was a great experiment for them. This is the same thing, you know, when you don't have Polaroids, but those Polaroids, gosh, they're really expensive. Now, the 4x5 Polaroids are like $5, $6, $7 a piece now, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So, all right, cool. Any other fun projects you have coming up?
Just shoot more weddings. I'd love to get on more shows. But right now I'm just excited to be shooting with OPG and look forward to the future.
Right on, right on. I'm actually going to give you one piece of advice for your portfolio on the website. While as much as I love the view camera shot, I'd love to see your face in your bio picture shot. You
know, I was actually going to change that right now. I took some great photos in Yellowstone of me. So
Amazing.
I'm with it.
Amazing. Yeah. And just in general, for anyone who's listening out there, and I've given this advice to some very talented photographers who recently we scheduled a call and he said, I'm not getting as much work as I'd like. And I went and looked at his bio picture and it was very arty, which is great for your website and, you know, the commercial stuff. That's what they expect to see. But for weddings, you want to be approachable. You want to be personable. You want to be smiling. Absolutely. Or not even smiling, you want to show something that's like, oh, cool, look at this shot.
Right.
This may not be the best example for that.
You're absolutely right. Brides want to know who's behind the camera, and I was thinking about that recently. So
right.
Definitely going to change that, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, it's great meeting you. That went really fast, at 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Good luck with your weddings coming up. It's really great getting to know you again, getting to know you. And thank you for being on this episode of Success Stories.
I'm having a great time and thanks for making me part of the OPG team.
All right, great. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode of OPG's Success Story. If you'd like to be on this show and be like Matt, who's going to get a $25 gift card to B&H after being on the show, please join us. I'd love to hear your stories. It's been a joy for me to hear, as photographers, we're generally very, I've never met a boring photographer. So I'd love to hear your story and what you're up to and come on here and tell your story. So, again, we'll see you on the next episode of Success Stories. Take care, everyone. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode? Or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jgroup2p@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.